I felt I needed to say thank you just because it is Thanksgiving. It's coming up to be that where we need to be more thankful, and thus I wanted to talk a little bit today about this idea of having thankfulness. And I want to start by saying thank you to the church and to the elders for the opportunity I have to work with the church here, be a part of the church family, and to minister and to take care of myself and my family. Also wanted to thank them for the gift that they gave me a couple weeks ago, if you remember that Sunday after church. And, you know, the week after, I was going to say thank you, and I forgot. And then, so the following week, which was last week, so Judy was like, well, you know, you really need to thank them. So I wrote it down, and I didn't look at my notes. So here we are today. So, like, you know what I did is I thought I would just, if I just do a whole lesson on being thankful, maybe it'll stir my memory, and I can express some appreciation to you all. And we do have so much to be thankful for. You know, we think about Thanksgiving, and surely we hope that, you know, we, as of all people in the world, are thankful and should be thankful and ought to be thankful. Certainly more than just like on one day or one week out of the year. We should be thankful all the time. And the Bible really encourages this. The scripture that was read earlier by Ken in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. And in that it says, you know, give thanks in all circumstances. So give thanks always. Give thanks continually. And then the next part is, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God's will is that we would be thankful people. And so that's kind of what we want to focus on. And maybe what I was thinking is, maybe if we are not so thankful or as thankful as we could be or ought to be, that maybe during this Thanksgiving season we can begin some new habits that would not just be centered around Thanksgiving, but if we learn to be more thankful, maybe this coming week, it will last the week after and the week after, you know, and even into Christmas. And a lot of times, you know, are people really that thankful at Christmas? In other words, our week, Thanksgiving week, sometimes look like this. You know, we're really busy, we're planning, getting everything ready for the family, and, you know, there's a lot of work to be done to get ready for a Thanksgiving week, a meal, a family time, visiting, you know, so that's really busy. And then we have one day where, you know, there's Thanksgiving, and, you know, there's that day, but then, like, the day after Thanksgiving, like, we're just right back at it. Saying, I need more. Like, it's Good Friday, you know, we can't just ignore that day. Like, that's almost more important than Thanksgiving, isn't it? Good Friday, you know, where we can go out and spend our money on stuff that we don't really need, right? You know, but we're at least thankful on Thursday. And now, of course, they've kind of ruined our Thanksgiving because most places now are opening on Thursday afternoon so we can do our Black Friday shopping early. Yeah. But what is thankfulness? And what I want to talk about today is, you know, we think about the word being thankful. Well, we got the idea of thanksgiving or showing thanks, appreciation, expressing that, saying it. But what does it mean to be thankful? What's the full part? What does it mean being full of thanks? So the two things that we're going to start with is first of all, being thankful has to do with quantity. You know, we're not just thankful for, like, the big things or a few things. We shouldn't just be thankful once in a while. If we're going to be thankful in all things, then that just shows that we should be, thankfulness should just be a way of our life. We are constantly thinking of being thankful. Now, first of all, we surely should be thankful to God for all that He's given us. What do we have that He didn't give us? I mean, we should be thankful for everything we have. And you can say, well, you know, I'm smart because I studied hard in school. But there's a lot of places, if you were born in a different place or in a different time, you wouldn't have even had the opportunity to go to school. Well, you know, I'm thankful that I have a good job, but I've worked for it. You know, I've worked my way up, you know, I've been diligent and I've been industrious and I've, you know, worked hard. I earned this. But again, different place, different time. You could have worked as hard as you wanted. You wouldn't have gotten higher, you know, than being a peasant. You know, all the stuff that I have, you know, and, you know, my money that I spent and a nice house, nice car, you know, all that stuff. Maybe even a good family, all these things. But do we really think this is what I've done? Or is this really a gift of God that I can be constantly thankful for all I have? So what's quantity? The small things that happen every day. I don't know if very many of you saw that YouTube, Lisa, right, started on Facebook, right? And, you know, and I'm glad a lot of people have watched it, right? There's millions of people that have watched it, but some church group down in the South did this, and the guy wakes up and his face is wrapped in a present, and he wakes up and he's like, and he takes it off, and what is he? He's being thankful. This is a gift that I woke up today. Right? And then the next thing is he went into the bathroom and, he's got a place where he can get ready and he's got a shower with running water. Right? Like, there's a time when people didn't have running water now. But how often do we say, boy, I'm so thankful that running water, his light switch had a gift wrapping on it, because electricity, we have so much we don't even think about it anymore. But just showing how thankful we could be, should be, for all that we have. It's quantity. But the other part of thankful, if we're going to be full of thanks, not just quantity, but what about quality? Quality. Because, for me, sometimes people do something nice, and, oh, thanks, But it's really not that heartfelt. It's just like, well, thanks. It's politeness, right? I don't want people to think that I'm being rude. Well, I appreciate you like this much. But, how do we express that? I'm not even sure how we express thankfulness without it just being, the right or the polite. My mama taught me right, so this is the way it is. Right? Or to really say, I am so thankful. I really mean that. I am thankful. I'm honored that you thought of me. I'm honored that, you took time to let me in on the freeway or hold the door open when I'm walking. So even to complete strangers just thanks. It's not a big deal, but just thanks. I know. Right? So thankfulness can also be quality as well as quantity. So this idea of being full, overflowing, well, why would I be overflowing with thankfulness? Because I've got gratitude. It's an attitude, right? An attitude of gratitude, which comes out. The other thing we must realize is that for thankfulness to really be anything, it's got to be expressed. Sometimes we think, I'm thankful for my wife that, she spent a lot of time cooking a nice meal or, cleaning the house or, taking care of the kids or, helping out whatever, I kind of feel like, but do you ever express it? So the more you express it, the more it becomes real. So saying thank you, or maybe even longer than that. To express how you really feel, not just saying words. And sometimes even thankfulness can be expressed by sending somebody a card and writing some things in it about how thankful, how glad, how much you appreciate that person for what they've done or who they are, that you're in their life and they're in your life, just expressing thankfulness. So we want to look at some verses then that talk about this idea of thankfulness. And David in the Old Testament wrote many psalms, and we're not going to read them all that speak about thankfulness. That would be almost all of them, at least at some portion or part of the psalm talks about this idea of thankfulness. But here's some that come to mind. In Psalm 92 in verse 1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. Now, good doesn't mean, it's a good idea, like do it or don't do it. I mean, it's the right thing to do. It's the proper thing to do. It's like the natural thing to do. After all that God has done, it's good, it's right to give thanks to the Lord. Well, how would we do that? Well, maybe we could sing praises to his name. I appreciate, again, Ken leading the songs today that talk about this idea of thanksgiving and being thankful and this idea of honoring God for what he's done. Being thankful in our songs. And that's not just at church. You can sing anytime you want. You can sing with your family. You can sing on your own. Sometimes you may even, put in some Christian music or something and sing along. Sing thanksgiving to God. Or maybe if you're not that good of a singer, you could always just listen and through music enjoy even personal worship to God through singing the praises to God's name for what he has done and for who he is and how he's been involved in our life. O Most High, you declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. I mean, God, he's always there. He's always watching over. He's always blessing us. He's always giving to us. I mean, even in the difficult times that life sometimes gives to us, God's still there. He doesn't abandon us. He doesn't desert us. He is there for us, and he's working for our good. So God is there. So we are thankful, and so we sing praise and we honor him. Another verse in Psalm chapter 9. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. And again, that's how this psalm is saying, this is how I'm going to express my thankfulness. I'm just going to share to other people what God has done, all the things he's done, how he's been involved, and how he's blessed me. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. And so it's interesting that he has this connection here between having joy, having peace in my life, and being thankful. That somehow, you know, they're connected. And we'll talk about that a little bit more, about having joy and thankfulness that comes because we recognize what God has already done. And so our thinking about God and our prayers to God should not always just be, well, Lord, this is what I need. There's more on my list. You know, and maybe it's not always selfish. Maybe I'm thinking about other people and what their needs are. But, you know, if we're always just keep on asking for more and more and more, we lose that sense of what God has already done. And again, maybe that sounds in some people's home like Christmas. You know, that people are, well, this is what I want. I got this whole list. I mean, I got so much stuff I want for Christmas. I don't even know where to start. You know, it's such a huge list. Because I just need more stuff. Which seems to sometimes take away being thankful even for the stuff I got last Christmas. And the Christmas before. I mean, I've been blessed with a lot of things. So I think about what I have that God has already done and how he has been working. So, again, this idea of honoring him and praising him. One of the Psalms that speak about this idea of thanksgiving and praising God. Some of the Psalms, specifically Psalm 113 to 118, they're called Hallel songs or Psalms. H-A-L-L-A-L. Hallel. Which has to do with the idea of praise and honoring God and thanking God, remembering all that God has done, the Hallel. And by the way, Hallel sounds a lot like a word that we use sometimes, right? Which is Hallelujah is what I'm trying to get at. But I'd probably, you know, if I'm trying to say it broken up, but Hallelujah, right? Which is, it's a song of praise. So we've got a few songs that Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. Right? So we've got these songs of Hallel songs, praising God for all that he's done, for how he's been involved and how he's been working. And this is one of the Psalms that David wrote that uses this idea of honoring God and praising God and thanking God and just pouring out our gratitude. So actually just this one verse, Psalm 100 verse 4. It's got a couple words in here. They're Hebrew words, and so we're usually not really good on Hebrew words, but the explanation of the Hebrew words maybe would also be helpful. So this word thanksgiving is the word todah. And that means, this is what it means, so enter his gates with adoration, as the choir worshipers come together. This is literally what it means in the Old Testament, as they're singing these songs of praise, thanksgiving, an offering. This is what this word todah means. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. This word praise, a different word, is talela, which means laudation. So again, if we laud something, that's when we hold something up, right? We laud. Specifically, it's a hymn or a praise. By the way, this word todah, the first one's used 32 times in the Old Testament. This one's used 57 times in the Old Testament, this idea of praising God. The third word, this word thanks, is yada, which means to revere, to worship. And it literally means extended hands, kind of reaching out for God. He's kind of reaching down to us, and we're reaching out to him. Literally means extending the hands. Intensively, to bemoan. And sometimes that means, you know, wringing your hands, just kind of this idea of calling out to God and seeking him. Making confession, praise, and being thankful. This is used 114 times in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament. Last one is to bless his name. And that is the word barach, which means to kneel or to bless God. It's an act of adoration, or could literally mean to thank. And again, this word is used 330 times in the Old Testament. So you got the idea that just in this one verse, David is trying to say, well, how do I tell God how much I appreciate and adore and I thank him? My gratitude is just overflowing, this thankfulness that he is trying to express. And this is probably a song that they sang as well as something that they would have read. And so he's just overflowing with thankfulness as he, in Psalm 100, expresses his gratitude and his love toward God. And so Colossians in the New Testament speaks about the same kind of attitude we have towards God and being thankful. Colossians 3 and verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So first of all, if we have the peace of God controlling us, overseeing us, directing us, the peace of God is ruling, it's controlling us. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. All right. So it seems like he's really expressing this idea of the peace of Christ. We have peace with one another. And I think somehow this next short sentence is connected with that. Because if we don't have thankfulness to God, and if we don't have gratitude towards one another, do you think we'll have peace? Do you think we'll have contentment? Or will we more or less be looking at other people and saying, well, they could have done more. They could have helped out. I wonder where they were today. You know, all these attitudes sometimes we get towards other people, maybe because of our expectations or maybe because of our disappointments. But he's saying, hey, if we are thankful for people, if we're thankful for the church body, if we're thankful for brothers and sisters in the Lord, if we're thankful for fellow workers, if we're thankful for those people that encourage us, pray for us, build us up, then maybe we'd have more peace. I mean, you think about it even in your home, right? If you were more thankful that you do have a relationship with your spouse or with your children or even with your own parents, thankful for all that your parents have done, do you think that would build a little bit more peace in your home if you not only had this thankfulness, gratitude, but you even expressed it to the people in your own home? I think that would change the environment. Be thankful. But he goes on to say this. This is verse 15. This is verse 17. Whatever you do. So we kind of got that down. It's whatever. It's kind of like the 1 Thessalonians 5. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we've got that down. I've heard this verse, you know, preached on a lot in the church when I was growing up. That everything we do in the name of the Lord Jesus, right? Which means we have to have the authority. We've got to get back to the Word. We've got to make sure that this is God's will. And so whatever we're doing, and a lot of times it was specifically towards worship, we say, well, when we come to worship, we've got to make sure we're worshiping right and doing the right things. And that's going to be based on the Word of God, and we're going to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's good. That's what we should do. But this also extends to all parts of our life, that whatever, because this is whatever, it's not just whatever you do in worship, it's whatever you do, wherever you are, whoever you're with, whatever day it is, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. But I didn't hear very many people saying, well, while you're doing that in the name of the Lord Jesus, be thankful. Because usually what I'd find that we sometimes did is we'd say this first part, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, and then we spend the rest of the sermon tearing everybody down because they're not doing it right. Right? Instead of being thankful, maybe for what we do have or who we're with and how it's working out. Be thankful. This is what he's saying. Be thanks, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So that right here in Colossians, verse 15 and verse 17, and of course verse 16 is the one that talks about as we sing. And what do you think that's going to be doing? It's going to be singing. It's going to be uniting us. Singing is going to be making us thankful as we worship God in our songs, hymns, spiritual songs. It's going to bring us together. But it's going to be from an overflow of gratitude. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 4. I kind of started there, and I said, well, what else does Colossians say? And especially since we were just in chapter 3, there are no chapter breaks when the letter was written. Just curious. When you write a letter to somebody, you know, especially if it's a long letter, do you put chapter breaks in there? Right? Verses? No, we don't. You just kind of read through the whole thing, even if it's like a page and a half. Well, that's what this letter was. The chapter breaks are for us. So this just kind of came right out after verse 15, verse 17. Now we're what, chapter 4. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Being devoted to prayer. So we pray. But what are we going to do while we're praying? What are we going to be watchful for? Well, we could say we're going to be watchful for some things that may trip us up. We may be watchful of people that may be teaching things other than Christ. We may be watchful about temptations that may draw us away. Well, you could be watchful for that. We could also be watchful for how God's been working. We could be watchful about what God has planned, what God has promised, the relationship that I enjoy. I could just be watchful and thinking and reflective about God. Why not be watchful about what God has been up to? And then we could be thankful. Being watchful and thankful. So being devoted to prayer, but we also need to be devoted to being thankful. Kind of just follows through in this verse. Being watchful and thankful. And there is one more in Colossians, chapter 2. Again, obviously this is before chapter 3. So then, just as you received Christ, Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Now, this is kind of where we started, right? Overflowing with thankfulness. I don't know. Does that describe your life? I mean, think about it. Do you know somebody that you could say, you know, when I think about this person, it's just like thankfulness just bubbles over. Like there's so much thankfulness inside. And again, I guess I think I do pretty good with just trying to express appreciation. And thanks, you know, when people do a kind deed, even strangers, you know. But overflowing just means like there's so much thankfulness in there. It just comes so naturally. But it also comes so sincerely. It's just, you got so much, it just comes out. It just, it's a part of who we are. So he's saying as Christians, we have so much to be thankful for. And I don't know how this would change exactly. Well, I'm not really that thankful. I guess you could just sit down and start writing lists. Like pages of lists of things that you have. Now I know you can write about things that you don't have. Right? So a couple years ago, I had my gallbladder out. Don't have that. And I don't digest food as well as I used to. So I'm going to spend 20 minutes right now just telling you about what it's like to live without a gallbladder. But you know, I got everything else working in my body, but I'm going to focus on what I don't have instead of what I do have. So when I say, I'm just so thankful for my health. And like surely we come across a lot of other people that don't have the health that we have. Maybe somebody who's bound to a wheelchair. Why can't I just say, in my mind, I wouldn't say it to them, but I'm so thankful to God I can walk. What a blessing that is. And maybe when I'm thankful for that, I can go to that person and say, hey, how can I help you? Is there anything I can do for you? I want to make your life easier. You know, some people have a heart attack. What? I've never had a heart attack. I don't know. Does that help? Knock on wood. I mean, it's like, ah! Anyway, that's a why. I shouldn't have done that. Okay. All right. Somebody's going to come to me afterwards and say, you know, that is a superstition and you violated everything biblical, right? Okay. So, I got so much to be thankful, even in my health. I got so much to be thankful for all the stuff I own and all the money that I make and all the relationships that I enjoy. And you can say, yeah, but I've got one person in my life. They just kind of grate on my nerves. Yeah, well, tell me all the blessings that you do have in your life and relationships. And tell me about that person that you don't even like that much. So I bet there's a lot of good in them. Why don't you just write all the good things about them? Oh, they work hard. They serve people. You know, they help out in the church. You know, whatever. Think about the good things. Surely we can focus. But this kind of person is just overflowing. Do we overflow? And if not, why not? If not, should we? Ought we? And is this saying, this almost makes it sound like this is what you ought to do. But if you're not doing it, sometimes you just have to make a decision. Say, I'm going to decide to be more thankful. Instead of being bitter, I'm going to see if I can get better. Instead of looking at all the negative, I'm going to start focusing on positive. Can we grow in this area and say, because it's not always just a feeling. Because I understand feelings. When you get down, it's like, man, life's just not working right. I understand that. But how do we change that? And say, but there is so much that is working right. Yeah, some things are not working right. How do we grow? Instead of going by our emotions, can we go by decisions? Sometimes even when we say, I don't see how God is working in this. How's he working through this? Where is God when this happens? Maybe we say, well, what are some things that God is doing? What God has done? Does that make sense? Because, you know, even if my health had a downturn, could I not say, like I'm 55. I'm an old man. 55 years old. But if I had a downturn in my health, could I not say, God has been so good. He gave me 55 years of good health. I didn't deserve that. That was a gift God gave me, and I'm so thankful. Instead of just focusing on, downturn now. How sad. Woe is me. Everything's falling apart. Where's God now? Overflowing with thankfulness. Because, hey, these people in the Colossian church, they didn't have it all together. They didn't have life going easy. They didn't have all the blessings they could ever want. As a matter of fact, sometimes if we think, well, I need more. If I had more, I'd be more thankful. Well, you may think that. It's just not true. If you're not thankful for the little you have now, you're not going to be thankful with more. If you're greedy with the little you have now, you'll just be greedy with more. If you're ungrateful with the stuff you have now, God blessing you in addition, it's not going to make you more grateful. It'll probably make you more bitter. Because you're going to say, I thought this would bring me happiness. I thought this would bring me joy. I thought this would make me overflow with thanksgiving. But have you ever found out it doesn't? Doesn't. Getting more doesn't help. So where does this come from? Joy does not make us grateful. So just, you know, hey, if I could just have it, now I'd be happy. If I could be happier, I'd be more thankful. But being grateful, having gratitude, that's what makes us joyful. But so often we have it the other, I just say, God, if you just did this one more thing, I'd probably never ask you for anything ever again. Just as one. It doesn't work. Even if you get it. You always want more. It's never enough. Gratitude is a thing that makes us joyful. So this is the commercial break. Thanksgiving dinner. See? If you don't have the commercial breaks, you'll forget. Actually, I'll forget to tell you. You'll forget, right? So if you don't have anywhere to go this Thanksgiving, Thursday, so we're going to meeting in the fellowship hall here. Just make sure you sign the list or let Karen or me know or something like that. Call us tomorrow if you forget today. But we're going to be having things. If you've got nowhere to go, we don't want anyone on Thanksgiving Day to be sitting around eating by themselves. Because Thanksgiving should be about people. You know. So we're going to have a church family here to enjoy Thanksgiving dinner. So that is this Thursday. So commercial announcement done. See, that's the quickest announcement you've ever had. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him in music and song. Thanksgiving. See, I got the Christmas tree up there. The idea is, if we skip over Thanksgiving, and I'm not talking about a day, I'm talking about an attitude. If we skip over it too quickly and we jump right to what I need, what am I going to get? I got my list of stuff that I want. And if you've got a list of stuff you want and you don't have a list of being thankful for what you already have, you've missed it. I mean, it's true. Kind of the older you get, you know, somebody says, well, what do you want for Christmas? It's like, you know something? I have all I need. I don't want anything else. Maybe I just want a little more love. You know, I'd like a little more faith. You know, I'd like to commit to spending more time with the Lord in prayer. Right? Got all I need. God's been good. Overflowing with thankfulness. Now, this is a challenge that God said, you know, it's so easy when you live in a land of plenty. When you live in a land where there is enough. And we probably would say we live in a land where there is too much. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, following through the first five books of the Old Testament, it's called the Pentateuch. Exodus is the story of what happened during the days of Moses when the people were in Egypt. They left Egypt. The laws, the rules, the worship, all the way through. That's what Exodus is about. Deuteronomy is at the end of Moses' life, just before they were going to go into the promised land, when it was promised, although they didn't get in there right away. Deuteronomy is about looking back. What did happen when they left Egypt? What did happen when God gave them the law? And in Deuteronomy chapter 7, God tells the people. Now, for us that are a little bit older, put yourself in this position. Because remember when you were younger, maybe just getting out of college, you didn't have much money. You didn't have very many things. You didn't have very much hope. Could you imagine what it was like back then? Could you remember what it was like back then? When you were like 22 years old. And maybe you just got married. Back then, if you could have imagined your life now. I know when I was that age, I'd be like, I don't know if I'll ever get to the point where I'd own more than one car. I could hardly afford the car, the used car, the old car I had. Judy and I, we first got married, lived in Toronto in an apartment. We're like, man, this is amazing. We got our own place. The first apartment we lived in was in the basement of like a stranger's house. He rented out the basement, you know what I mean? So we're living in a basement apartment. I said, this is amazing. I never believed I'd own a house. Nice house, big house. I never dreamed I'd ever make the money I'm making now. Right? Did you ever feel that way? Kind of think, man, I've got so much more. But now I've got it all. It's like, well, you know, yeah, we need this. We need more. This was the problem that was happening in Deuteronomy. God just warns them and says, you just got to be so careful because you're going to go into this land. When you get into the land, you've just got to be very careful. When you get into the land of Canaan. Deuteronomy chapter 8. That's where I want to be. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 1. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. God says, I'm making a promise. It's going to be yours. Well, what's next? God says, I was with you. You remember walking through the wilderness. I fed you. I clothed you. Your shoes did not wear out. I was with you the whole way. You made it through. But I'm the one who blessed you with that. Verse 6. God says, observe the commands of the Lord God, walking in his way and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. The land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing and valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. A land where bread will not be scarce. You will lack nothing. A land where the rocks and the iron, you can dig out copper from the hills. God's saying it's all there. It's already set. It's already in place. The houses are already built. The cities are already established. You're just going to walk in. It's all yours. It's a gift. I'm giving it to you. I promise it to Abraham all the way through, and it is yours. It's just a gift. Here it is. God's saying, listen, I'm going to give you this gift. I mean, think about our lives, what God has done for us, where he's brought us from, what he has freed us from, how he has delivered us. And here we are today. And everything we have, we'd say, it's been a gift. So this is what God says. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, his decrees I'm giving you this day. Now listen to this. Otherwise, this is verse 12, Deuteronomy 8. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, so I've got all I want, I'm feeling good, I've been blessed, I've eaten and I'm satisfied. When you build fine houses and you settle down, and when your herds and your flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, wow, you know, things are going so well in my life. But this is what can happen. Then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes, its scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your forefathers had never known, to humble you and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. And you will say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced all this for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so to confirm his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as to this day. And if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you surely will be destroyed. All right, that's way back then. This is like 4,000 years ago. It means nothing to us except this. God has blessed us. God has made a covenant with us. God has dealt with us bountifully, and he's given us so much. And what God said is, you be thankful for what I've given you. Because if you're not going to be thankful, you're going to become proud. And you're going to say, I've done all this myself. I'm pretty smart, and I'm pretty strong, and I've worked hard. And it's all about me. It's all about my happiness. It's all about what I can get. And I want more and more and more. And what happens? Then you forget God, and you begin worshiping the work of your hands. Well, look at the house I built. Look at the job I have. Look at the wife I have. You know, just all these things. We end up worshiping and serving, as the Bible would say, all the stuff. Romans 1 says, don't worship the stuff. Worship the giver of the stuff. The one who gave you the stuff. Don't forget him. And so even Deuteronomy 8 says, how are you going to overcome that? Be grateful. Be thankful. Praise God for what he has done, and don't begin running around praising yourself thinking it's been all about you, because you're going to forget the Lord. Maybe there's people here today that have never surrendered their life to the Lord and said, I'm going to follow him. I've been blessed by God, not only physically, not only relationally, but now even spiritually through Jesus Christ. And if today you want to express your appreciation and your thankfulness and your worship towards God and say, today I'm going to surrender everything to him. Because there's people here that have surrendered to him, and somehow we've kind of gotten off track like the Israelites have, and we've gotten all proud in amongst ourselves and thought it's all about us, and we're not really that grateful anymore. But there's also people that have never surrendered to Christ. And if today you want to do that and to make Jesus the Lord and the master of your life, you want to be baptized into him. Let's stand. We'll sing the song and let us know how we can be a blessing.